The Approaching the Natural Podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is my podcast. Welcome to One and All. This is the sixth false start. This is the sixth start. I'm sticking with this one. The fourth one had holy crap in the first 2 seconds. That's a record, you guys. I was very proud of myself, but had to delete it. If you're just joining me, yeah, that's what happens. So hopefully you'll stick with me during, you know, at least this episode and see what happens. To those of you who've been here before, boom, you know what's rolling here. So good. We're all good. We're all good. Settle in. Buckle up. I hope you installed seatbelts on your couch because you're going to need them. But you might be asking yourself, Sid, what is this podcast? What is the gist? What's the elevator pitch of this podcast? I just heard about elevator pitches. I knew what they were, but they were discussed today at work, and so I thought I would just squeak them in for no real reason. The gist of this podcast: I want to help you guys live healthier and happier. Capital H happier, lowercase h healthier. I'm sorry if that went a little too grammatic for you guys. I'm sorry. I'll dial the grammar back. That'll be my dial back day, is less grammar this week. Between her and I. Hey, listen, you guys, bear with me on this one. Okay. If you are just joining me, I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for anybody who just joins me. But then eventually, if you stick with it, you'll get what's going on here. But I am dedicated to helping everybody live a little better, healthier, and happier in the modern world via my unique brand of Small Steps. How can I help? This is my mission. How can I help you, yes, learn and know about the things, but really, like I touched upon last week, which I'll get into a little bit more this week, is how can I help you implement the change? How can I help you keep this up sustainably for the rest of your life? That's the mission here. That ain't easy. This is episode 124. This is going to go on for a long time because I need to be here every week to remind you. And one of the things, ironically, is to remind you is that you really don't need me, but it takes a sell to you for you to understand that. And clients too, that I work with on a private basis, I'm trying to make sure they understand that they really don't need me. I don't want anybody to need me. I don't want to be a guru, never have. I want to have fun and have fulfillment in my own life, helping somebody do something in their lives that they never thought was possible. Those are the emails I get. Those are the, you know, I'm small stepping through this. It's been a help for me to learn to do this because I'm not putting as much pressure on myself. The weight is lifting off my shoulders. I'm backing off and I'm realizing who I really am deep down. These are the things that just, you know, they're just like, they're better than caffeine. What? No, they're not. They're not better than caffeine, you guys. Seriously, if I ever say they're better than caffeine, you know that I'm freaking lying. As I take a sip of my mushroom coffee. But they really are better than caffeine. Okay, don't tell anybody that I said that. Okay. That's it in a nutshell. Okay? Yeah, am I a certified nutritionist? Sure. I was going to talk about this next week, but I'll just throw it in here now. Here's what's exhausting me. You want to know what's making me tired? Food is making me tired. And I'm not even talking about the food I'm eating, because that's pretty much heavy box. If you guys don't know what that means, go watch my YouTube channel, Sid Garza-Hillman. Watch my heavy box nutrition video. The discussion of food exhausts me. It exhausts me. I mean, my dream. I have a dream. That's just not as broad as MLK's dream. He was shooting for the moon, and I think that's fantastic. My dream is that we don't talk about food. I'm so exhausted talking about food. So I went down to Los Angeles with Jeff Stanford. If you follow me on Facebook, see how I'm kind of sneaking these little Facebook, Sid Garza-Hillman, Twitter, boom. They bore the crap out of me. Strava, exciting. Instagram, mildly exciting. YouTube, super exciting. Okay? My website, SidGarzaHillman.com. You can donate to the podcast. Obviously, you already have. I mean, the first 5 minutes of this podcast were just like, you're like, where do I give? T-shirts, mugs, and bracelets. WWID, what would I do bracelets for you? See? Okay. You can also buy a custom signed copy of my book. But where was I? Okay. Went down to Los Angeles, and where I lived for 20 years before I moved up to this little hovel. And We went to this, we were invited because Jeff donates to this group called PCRM, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And he supports that. And so they invited us to their leadership conference, whatever. And so we went down there. I met Moby. That's something, right? Met Moby. Hey, Moby, you're bald. Hey, guess what? I'm bald too. We are bald. And we had that little secret handshake, which you guys don't know about unless you're bald. And it's a completely different secret handshake than small steppers get. If you're just joining me, your welcome packet will be in the mail. It will describe the secret handshake in detail through the use of clever diagrams. Mm. By the way, there is somebody coming to see me. I know that because I got an email at the Health Fest in Marshall, Texas. So hopefully that person will know the secret handshake. If they don't already, they should know it by now. Okay, that's April 1st through the 3rd. Let me get these out of the way. Can you bear with me for a second? Edinburgh Veg Fest, veganfestival.co.uk. Here's the scoop on that one. Ready for this? August 6th through the 7th. I have a listener who's coming to California from freaking New Zealand for a thing, and she's coming up, and she wants to meet me. I want to meet her. She's awesome. She's super cool. She's a dial back dayer, no less. So she kind of readjusted her trip because I was going to be out of town in Edinburgh. So she readjusted her trip to make it into July. And then Edinburgh Veg Fest emailed me this morning and said they're thinking about pushing the event to August 21st and 22nd. Figure that one out. So I don't know what's going on, but just you might want to go to the website if you're in the United Kingdom. That's it's a place of just kingdoms united. It's very, very lovely. Scotland being one of those kingdoms, apparently. World Veg Fest, October sometime in 2016. I'm the worst marketer and also just no good on announcements. Okay. Where was I was that we went down to this PCRM thing, okay? Because I'm going to just acronym that to hell. To this leadership conference, and there's all these speakers, and they're talking about plant-based stuff and this and that, and some of it was just animal testing. Like, I just need to see that. I don't need to see. I know it goes on. Anyway, the food discussion is so exhausting. It's so exhausting. And there was one person who spoke and they were like, what do you do about smoothie? You know, what's easy to eat? And she's like this famous cookbook author. And she's like, well, I put the broccoli and the spinach and the da-da-da-da-da. And I'm all good. She's like, spinach and fruit. And I was like, good, great. Sounds good to me. And then she's like, and then I put the protein powder in. I was like, for the love of all that's holy. The message there being that there's no protein in plants, and therefore, if you put a whole bunch of whole plants in a blender, you got to add protein powder. Drives me nutty nut nut. However, bigger picture is I'm just exhausted by food. The jury's, there's so much research. There's so much, we know how to eat healthy. There's nobody's walking around going, I just don't think that broccoli is healthy. There's enough to show that it's not. It's pretty spinach. Okay, like we know all these things, lettuce, fruits are kind of on the fence. People just like carbohydrates. Oh my goodness. They're phenomenal for you. They're approaching the natural. Am I right? Okay. But what's exhausting to me is just this discussion because I think food has become a distraction. I think it's become a distraction from what actually can make us healthy and happy in this life, in this life. I always do this every week. Because I feel like I got to remind you guys, like I remind myself, of what this is about. And this is about being happy tomorrow. Getting up and going to a job that maybe you kind of don't like, maybe, or maybe you do, I don't know. But realizing that if you don't like it, there's other stuff you can do, that you can bring in new stuff into your life, that you can explore, that you can become adventurous, that you can be open to new things, to noticing things that you didn't notice before that are already there, by the way. This is amazing stuff that goes on, but this is why we do this. And if I just laid out a diet for you guys and a meal thing to follow day 7 that you cannot morph, then two things are going to happen. One is I'm going to be miserable. Okay. That's number one. Sid, not happy, because that just makes me miserable. Two, Sid's making more money. And that's the reality. I'm less happy and wealthier because I give you what you think is going to make you happy, but it's not. And people get sucked into that stuff. And I've been there too, you guys. But if you're still listening to other podcasts that maybe do dial you know, dish those things out. I just hope that you have, that you come here as well to sort of balance that out a little bit, keep a little bit of perspective so that, like I've said before, you can try diets and have fun with them if you put them into perspective that they're not going to deliver you the health and happiness that you want. Short term, maybe some health. But I've never seen, maybe there is, somebody who is a yo-yo dieter who's really happy. I've never seen that. I've never seen somebody who goes from diet to diet. What I have seen is people who learn how to adopt sustainable lifestyle change, sustainable long-term change over time that becomes a part of their life so much that they don't really have to think about it anymore. See, that's why food exhausts me, because I don't really want to talk about food. I'm supposed to, and I do a little bit because I want to help you guys know enough to never have to think about it again. And what I say in my classes that I teach at the Stanford Inn is, I want you guys to know enough so that you don't have to think about it. And also I say this, I think about food less than anybody I know. And I'm a freaking nutritionist. I know enough to not have to worry about food. I know enough to not have to measure, count, and weigh. I know enough to not have to take virtually any supplementation except for pretty much vitamin D and vitamin B12. Why? Because I'm not natural enough to get those, which I could, from the environment. I could go outside 3 days a week in the sun if there was sun, but I live in Northern California, so there's not that much. Fine. Does it take me $14 to buy a little jar of pills that lasts me for 2 months? Yes, no problem. B12, I wash my produce, so I don't get dirt. I'm supposed to be dirty. We're not dirty. We're too clean. I'm making inroads in that in my own life and with that with my family, but I'll throw a B12 down now and then. Is it worth the, again, $12-$13 that lasts for over two months because I don't do it every single day? Yes, not a big deal, you guys. But I don't really want to think about all the 13 vitamins and the 70 odd trace minerals and how much protein and carbohydrate and fat levels and 30-40% zone diet. It's enough to make me just. This is why I don't do it. And my goal isn't to teach you the percentage of protein. My goal is to teach you how to eat well so you don't have to think about that stuff. That's liberating. Why? Because I'll bet that most of you, maybe not all of you, but I'll bet that most of you listening to this podcast right now have better things to do than count, measure, and weigh. Or by better, I mean things you'd rather be doing. Wouldn't you rather be doing something besides count, measure, and weighing? And maybe you think that counting, measuring, and weighing is necessary to get you to a point where you can enjoy your life better, fine. But let's just think about this for a second. What's your goal? To enjoy life better. So I'm sitting here going, okay, what if you tried this other way to do that besides counting, measuring, weighing, such that you actually enjoy a little bit better the process and the trek to the point where you're enjoying your life better? Okay? Okay. That's what I'm doing here, you guys. But we flew to LA. Haven't been back there in a while. I was there doing some book promotion a couple years ago. Like, I think it's been at least 2 or 3 years because my book came out in 2013, I think, and went down there to do some you know, bookstore kind of crap, and that's the last time I went down. So we basically flew into Burbank Airport and went to the Universal Sheraton where the thing was. Spent night in a hotel, went to the thing, and flew back right away. Was gone for one night. And so fine, good, I guess good enough event. Food was crap. Okay. So here we go. What else, you guys? YouTube video, Sid Garza Hillman. Okay, good. I got all the announcements away and I'm in a very stealthy way. You guys are just like, what happened? The announcements came out. We didn't even know. Okay. You guys ready to get busy? Are you ready to get busy? I touch upon, okay, so one thing is my freaking ultra. I'm up to 135 entrants. I know you guys were just like, yeah, but it's blowing my freaking mind. I got 135 entrants. Okay. That's because I had a sizable wait list and have had to, you know, expand it just by pure guilt. But I was thinking the other day, I was like, this time last year, I was training for my ultra. For the ones I did. I did the Way Too Cool 50K, and then a month later I did the American River 50 miler. And if you're just joining me, I finished in both, fine. Okay. Had a good experience with both in terms of physical and recovery and everything else. Okay. I've got videos on both on my YouTube channel if you want to check a recap. Okay. However, I was training last year, and this year I really did sort of toy with the idea, like I'm putting on my race, which is April 23rd, but I was like, okay, I could do the Way Too Cool 50K, which is early March. I could pull that off because it's like, whatever, I could just do it because I don't have no other ultras other than the one that I'm putting on, which I'm not running. I'm race directing it. I am so happy that I'm not training for an ultra marathon right now. I am so happy that I'm not training for an ultra marathon right now. Why? Because the additional stress in my life of directing one is plenty for me to take on right now in my life. It is a joy in the sense that I've created this thing and it's like sold out and I'm getting emails from people all over the country who are coming. It's amazing to see something that you starts in your brain and ends up real is amazing. I mean, that's why I, still play music. It's that kind of idea. Okay. But in the context of my whole life, to be training for an ultramarathon on top of the expenditure of energy to direct an ultramarathon would be too much for me. It'd just be plain old too much. I could pull it off, but a lot of other things in my life would suffer. The reason I think this way is because I too am a small stepper. So it is always in the context of my life. And every time I go for a run, like this morning, where I was going to do with the trampoline, but it was so dang gorgeous outside. It was like 40 degrees and sunny and beautiful. I was like, okay, I cannot sit inside and do a freaking treadmill. I mean, a trampoline. But every time I go for a run like today, I think how great to not be training. I'm still exercising. I'm still doing okay. I still go on long runs. I'm going to do a 14 miler on Saturday with Sid. If you heard last week's episode, I got extremely lost. So this Saturday, is my goal of actually doing it, but not getting lost. I set the bar low. Like, my goal in running is not to get lost. That's last year was doing a 50 miler. Now it's just don't end up on a highway and have to hitchhike back to a supermarket. So again, in the context of my life, because I'm a small stepper, I'm taking on the ultra directing. I'm ecstatic not to be training. I'm ecstatic to be going for runs and not having to think about, did I do the interval? What do I have to do here? If you follow me on Strava, which you should, you'll see that more my runs than not are what I call by feel. So I'll be like 5 miler by feel, 4 miler by feel. And this means I start out running and I don't look at my watch. I've just gotten used to it now. So it's not like I'm fighting the urge. I eased that behavior in over time because I'm a small stepper. And now I didn't really look at it. I think about other things that I want to think about. In other words, I'm bringing this back full circle to food. It's like there are things that I'd rather think about than the pace. I'd rather not worry about that. So I go by feel. And 9 times out of 10, that pace is very reflective of how I ate the day before and how well I slept the night before. And it's amazing. The disconnect between those things and my training was real. And what I mean by that is training plans and diets don't take into account how you feel. It's been very, very fulfilling for me to do this and to communicate this to people of a run by feel. Sometimes my pacing on a run by feel is quite fast because it fits with how I feel and how I ate the day before. But I traveled this weekend, so I was really tired. I mean, the day we returned, we got up early, go to this conference all day, left from the conference to the airport, flew back to San Francisco, got in a car and drove 4 hours to home. So I didn't get home till after midnight. It's a very, very long, it was a 9-hour travel day just to come from Los Angeles to my house because we're that remote. So, and then yesterday I worked on the horse shelter. Don't even get me started. But it was a busy day and had other stuff to do at the back of the wellness center, even though it was on Sunday. So it's busy. So this morning I get up and I do a by feel. I slept pretty well last night, finally, but I did a by feel, pretty average. But then you'll see that sometimes I'm kicking a little ass because I slept well, because I ate well the day before. It's by feel. This process is about getting more in touch with how you feel. That's what informs the steps that go on your list or the steps that come off your list or the steps that are reduced or the steps that are increased. It is a result of how you are in that moment to say, What am I willing to take on? This is not a question we ask. We consult the training plan, and I'm as guilty as the next guy. We consult the training plan to say, what am I supposed to do this day? I want you guys to experiment with, what am I supposed to do this day? You're supposed to do something that fits in your life that doesn't cause you to be unhappy or worse, an injury, or worse, just fatigue. It's finding out what am I supposed to be doing today is as much as what makes you happy. What am I supposed to be doing today on my dial back day, which is today, is my dial back day. I'm supposed to be doing that. Why? Because I welcome it. Why? Because I had French fries three freaking times. In a period of 24 hours, I had French fries three times in Los Angeles. Is that, and that's not even France. Imagine if I were in France where they invented French fries. That would be amazing. I probably had French fries 1,800 times in a 24-hour period. But I really did. I don't know what happened. They were there. It wasn't me. I had nothing to do with it. Just were like, we're here for you. So today, when I wake up and I have a decent run on average, because I slept pretty well, but I also go, what am I supposed to do today? I'm supposed to do a dial back day. Because, man, I'm needing it. Okay? The French fries, not my most of the time. Travel, not my most of the time. Ain't sweating it. Talk to a client about that. It's like, I don't give a crap what happens in a two-day trip. That's how I talk to my clients. I don't give a crap. I say it a little more professionally, but not by much. But the discussion is, it's not of concern to you what happens in the non-most of the time. If you go on a day travel, a couple day travel, I ain't going to sweat it. I want you guys to not sweat it. Why? Because that ain't your most of the time. Unless you're somebody who travels all the time, then your small steps list will be about how to engage in your life more fully in the context of travel. It's always in the context of what you do most of the time. If you go to work and you have a schedule on Monday through Friday, blah, 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 how do you small step into that? That's why integrated exercise works phenomenally. I work 5 to 6 days a week. I'm in a place. And I go for the run and I love it, but I don't want to be caught sitting down all day. I love the way that I feel when I get up and jump down and do my push-ups and squats. So it's in the context of your life. This is what it is. Okay? This is what it is. That trip, not the context, which is why I'll not sweat the French fries. I love the French fries. That's why I do them then, because it's not my most of the time. Guess when I'd stop loving French fries? If I ate French fries every day. I would stop losing them the way, I would stop loving them the way that I believe, and I had a friend who confirmed this for me once, cigarette smokers don't love smoking every single cigarette if somebody smokes a pack or two packs a day. They probably don't even notice 75% of the cigarettes that they're smoking because they're just doing it all the time. It's not special. It's not a treat. It's just their day to day. And they probably don't feel that good in their lives. Okay. Just guessing, but two packs a day cigarette smoking. There's a little bit of science behind that. I think they're just now issuing some information saying that cigarette smoking is not that good for you. I think that's just hitting the mainstream. Okay. Mushroom coffee, though, they've known about that since the 70s. Okay, so anyway, back to the real quick. You know, that's my whole point is that just noticing like how thankful I am that I did not say, I can do an ultra marathon race directing it and also train for one. The cool thing is that Sid, my training partner, is training for an ultra marathon. I'm going to be pacing her. By the way, I'll be in San Diego in June. Pacing her. She's flying me down there to pace her. She's doing a 100-miler, and I'm doing the all-night shift. And I'm going like, oh, I'll just pace her. Like, that's no big deal. But it's going to be like 30 miles. So it's like, it's kind of this thing of like, it's like a real thing. It's like, it could be 20 to 30 miles. And by the way, in the middle of the night. So headlamps, you know, the whole deal. So my point is that she's training and I'm running with her on weekends. So I'm kind of training, but not training. It's the beautifulness of like, I'm motivated to run more miles on weekends because she's going and we actually have a little group going this Saturday, like 6 people that are doing my ultra and they want to see the last part of the race. So I was like, come on, let's do it. Let's do the last 14 miles. So they're all in. It's going to be a really fun little group, but I'm not consulting anything. I'm not being coached. I don't consult the training plans. Paradise. I get all the benefit without any of the having to think about anything about it other than just putting on my shoes and going for a run. It's pretty great. A lot less time about that. Okay. I want to talk about real quick the need / get gap. Now, the first thing I want to mention about that is how horribly named that is, because I named it, and that was just not a good... It's the need... I have to say / That's your first thing, unless you're talking about Guns N' Roses. There's just no reason to actually verbalize that. So let's just call it the need get gap. The need get gap. I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. That I did not like that title. I apologize for that. I will probably edit it out. So what you guys didn't hear was that I actually referred to this thing as the need get gap. The point is that the less, here's the gap, okay? There is a profound and real gap every day for most of us living in the world that we have created today. A profound gap between what we need and what we get. The need-get gap. Still doesn't sit well with me. What we need are micronutrients, vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, antioxidants, fiber, and water. We need protein, fat, carbohydrates. What we need is sunlight and air. What we need is shelter. What we need to be happy is family and friends. But what we get is food that has been taken out of the frickin' nutty nut nut zone into the nutty nut 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 zone. Three nuts. We get dislocation, we get separation from our friends and family, we get no sunlight, we get no fresh air, we get no movement. All we need is basic integrated, like really integrated movement. We just basic movement, moving around. That's all we really need. What we get, 45 minutes beating our ass up in a spin class. This is what we get. What we need versus what we get. And again, this speaks to the sort of approaching the natural kind of thing. The natural existence of a species is how you would live if somebody dropped you in the mountains. If you knew enough to figure out how to forage for food, and we don't now, so for most of us, it would just be like a panic fest. That would be for me. I'd be like, well, I don't know if I can eat a tree. But if you had that sort of thing dialed in still of how to forage for wild lettuces and berries and nuts and go grab an animal if you can't find the plants, we would need very little comparatively to what we think we need now. What we get now in the modern world is too many calories, in many ways, too much movement, or at least concentrated in a way that is stressful for us. What we get are devices and experiencing the world with something mediated. Catch that old episode, a few back, everything's mediated. We have things between us and the world. We have packaged food between us and natural food. We have spin classes between us and just getting up and moving around, going for a walk, the things that we or run. The need get gap is the fact is how we can utilize that information in today's world is to understand that the less we need over time, the more adaptable we are. The less we need over time, the happier we can be. And what I was thinking of is in a way, simplicity triumphs in the world of health and happiness. When you're talking about health and happiness, when you're really talking about health and happiness on a deeper level in a small stepper's way, which if you're just joining me, you're going to get, simplicity triumphs in this world. The less we need, I'll put it this way, the less we realize we need to be happy. Because we really don't need that much to be happy. Our needs to be happy are actually quite small when we can get in touch with that for real. When we look to the marketplace, we're convinced we need a whole bunch. We, first of all, to be healthy, we need a series of pills and supplements and powders to be healthy. But we really don't need that stuff. To be happy, we need constant entertainment and the internet and all these kinds of things to keep ourselves engaged and happy all the time. But we really don't need that. We evolved as a game-playing species. We invented games. We used our creativity. I cited this in my book, and I'm going to paraphrase here. It's on my book in front of me. I mean, I do read it every day. It's fantastic. It's a real page-turner. And I don't even want to tell you how it ends, by the way. But they found that children who are smarter and more creative thrive in natural settings But then in artificial settings, like playgrounds that are asphalt and more structured and structural, kids that are physically stronger thrive in that setting. Very interesting to me. What shows is that in our natural state, we are creative in our design. We thrive creatively when we can tap that in, but we don't, in a way, in the modern world, we don't need that as much. Things are delivered to us and we don't need to come up with a game because we can go to the toy store and buy 50,000 different kinds of board games. We don't think of creating something. You know who do, right? Kids. They'll make a... My children have a game at school. They didn't invent... I think they invented it as a collective called Banana Tag. The rules of Banana Tag are so cryptic, I cannot break the code. I'm like, wait, so if you do that... Oh, no, if that guy goes down... They explain it. They know every rule to this game. It's more complicated than chess. Bobby Fischer would be like, I don't even know how to do this. I don't know how to strategically win in this game. And he would just walk out. But they've got banana attack because they have this space in which to create. And it's fun. That's their goal. Why I remind you guys why we're doing this, guys, to be happy, right? This makes them happy. It's fun. It's creative. But as we age, we lose that at least we lose the implementation of it. We don't lose the ability, by the way. And the small steppers way is we recapture that over time. The whole thing of building a steps list is creative in its nature because you're thinking about ways to, in a sense, I've talked about this before, create your life. You are creating your life. More on that next week. I'm going to get into that whole thing. But you're creating that thing. You're using your mind creatively to say, you're starting from scratch. I'm not handing it to you. A die is the least creative thing in the world because you're being handed the plan. You're being handed the plan. So it's not creative at all. So, day four, I'll buy zucchini because it says to buy zucchini. And I'll put it in a little cup container and I'll weigh it on my little scale. And there's nothing creative about that at all. But the more simple you realize what you need, the more you thrive. So again, simplicity triumphs when you're thinking about health and happiness. Simplicity triumphs. This is why I've actually coached people and I've worked with people who one of their steps is to simplify their lives, to declutter their lives, because in that process, they realize how much happier they are. We need very little. Dropped in nature, we don't need a lot. And somehow we can be happy. Somehow we can figure out a way to do that in nature because we're more attuned, again, to that creativity that we have as kids and that we thrive in nature because of this ability that we have to create, to use our brains in this way. Sure, the pragmatism of building tools, sure, it's practical, we build tools and everything, but there's also record of game playing. It's kind of cool. We looked for entertainment. And all animals do. They play and they mess around just like we do. What happened to that? Well, it's delivered to us now. So again, I'll say it a third time. Simplicity triumphs when you're considering health and happiness. Complexity triumphs in the world of money and marketplace and economy, in the world of nutty nut nut. In the modern world, complexity triumphs. This is why I said, if I handed you a diet, which by the way, would be very complex, and I would lay out all the things and protein and fat and how much this and that you need, and it would be very complex, so complex that you'd go, oh my gosh, I can't do this myself. I better follow what Sid says. And I would triumph in the world of money, but not in the world of health and happiness. Those two sometimes are mutually exclusive, but they're not black and white. There's a mixture there. And again, I want to be clear. I love stuff. I'm using a laptop to record this podcast. I use technology. I like the toys. It's fun and everything. But in my life, I like to just at least think about my life in ways to think, what would I be okay without this stuff? Is there enough going on in my brain and my world that it would be okay if I didn't have an iPhone? Would I somehow survive? Are my relationships intact that I could get joy, and are they functional and fulfilling such that if the lights went out and the electricity left and I couldn't, because it just leaves. The lights go out, but electricity goes, we're out of here. I don't know what that means. I'm not an electrician. I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it's just like, we're going to go. We're going to take these wires and we're packing up. But if everything shuts down, there was a period of time last year where the internet on the entire Mendocino coast just went because there was a main line that got cut inland, and we were no cell phone, no internet for like 5 or 6 days. And it was very weird and eerie because we couldn't do anything, like nothing, no internet. It was very weird, but kind of cool because somehow I was able to come home and be with my family. Somehow I was able to eat healthy food and feel good and go for runs, which takes me a pair of shoes. And guess what? If I didn't have a pair of shoes, I'd still run because I can run barefoot. So what you need, and this wasn't always the way, but I've talked about this before. Like I've transitioned over time to not need, I go off for a run, I grab a little bottle of water. Like it's not, I don't need 15,000 things and supplements and powders. And those. I kind of just grab some water. Maybe I'll throw some electrolyte powder, maybe, but I don't really need, especially for short runs, absolutely I don't take anything. 6 mile, 8 mile, I won't even take water. Nothing. Put shoes, pair of shoes, boom. And so but it's a process for me, but I like the toys. I like the fun things. I mean, I played ukulele in my step today, my music step. I love that stuff. It's amazing and I love it. And I'm not asking anybody to take anything away or to even experiment with that. What I'm asking in, because I'm sort of an add-in type of person is can you think about, in a way, just as a thought exercise this week of what would happen if I didn't have this stuff? What would happen? Could you, is your life enough? Is there enough in play now or could be where if you didn't have the things that you rely on for distraction and to take you away from maybe some things that are not so good in your life, what if those things, those distractions went away? What's left? If there's not that much left, then there's your small steps. If there's learning an instrument, if there's learning, cool, and it may need, you know, may mean getting something. But again, it's not all or nothing. I'm not saying clear out every material thing and just live with nothing. I'm just saying, maybe can you minimize? It's inversely proportional, guys. Trust me. The less clutter, the less crap, the less unused stuff, the less you think you need to be happy and healthy, the happier and healthier you can be. It's very liberating, this whole process, you guys. That's why I sell you on this every week, or try to. Do you have interests and hobbies? What, can you read books? Do you need the internet all the time? Do you have to surf the internet? I realize, and I was going to talk about this in a second, but this whole free time issue, you know, we're so busy. I'm busy. I am busier than most people, and somehow I live happy and healthy most of the time. Why? Because first of all, I've dialed in certain behaviors over time because I'm a small stepper where I don't really think about food anymore. Like I said, I just eat heavy box most times. So I don't really think about that. Frees me up more time to do things that I also like doing, videos and this podcast, for instance. But the whole thing of like, I don't have any time. I don't have free time. Everybody listening to this has free time. Everybody listening to this has free time in theory. Because there are places in your life where maybe you're doing something that isn't actually fulfilling for you that you could probably replace with something that is. This is a hard thing to get across in this podcast and with my clients. We have these devices now that give us 100% distraction 100% of the time if we want it. But I was noticing, I've noticed, and this is like a thing for me. And this is, by the way, this is all about what happens when you're a small stepper. You actually consider these things. But what happens is on Mondays, I go to work at the wellness center and I leave around 5-ish. And I come home and I hang out with my kids a little bit and I hang out with my wife and we're hanging out. But what I'm doing also is when I'm sort of there eating and I'll be at the table with them is I'm writing the podcast. I've taken notes during the week and I've recorded my little things on my voice recorder, little notes, and I incorporate them into my sort of bullet pointed list that I'm looking at right now as I'm talking. And I'll write these things down. Now, this is part of the work of the podcast. But what I noticed is that there's times where, and I really, this came to a head, it wasn't like a big conflict or anything, but I noticed it today on my way home, that I actually get distracted during the ride. Like I'll write some stuff and then I'm on the laptop, right? So it's super easy for me to just to pop right over to my email. It's super easy for me to pop right over to Google Chrome and search the internet. Google is, by the way, major sponsor. They give me like a billion. I think it's like up to they give me $1.2 billion a year for the podcast. I should mention, they're great. It's a search engine kind of thing. You just like go there. Anyway, great. Google. Okay, so they're not really sponsoring me. I'm very distracted. So I'll like be typing away and then I'll bump over to Google and I'll bump over to the email and blah, blah, blah. And what I'm noticing is I could, if I just focused and did my notes, I could probably save 10, 15 minutes off the process of transferring my weekly notes into my bullet points for today's podcast. 10 or 15 minutes. That's a massive. See, if you're a small stepper and or if you're new to this, you'll get 10 or 15 minutes is like, it's like freaking, it's like a treasure. It's like gold. 10 or 15 minutes is massive. 10 or 15 minutes is you taking 10 or 15 minutes to decide how you want to live the rest of your life, who you are truly are. 10 or 15 minutes is actually intentionally, not with, you know, distraction of CNN, but intentionally researching a new job, like I mentioned last week, or a class that you want to take. 10 or 15 minutes is picking up a guitar and playing or piano playing. 10 or 15 minutes, massive. It's massive. With intention and attention to this, intention and attention, 10 or 15 minutes lasts for a very long time. I mean, when I play my music step, it's like 5 minutes and it seems like a long time. To sit and play for 10 or 15 minutes, massive. Massive. This is the stuff of small steps. So anybody who says, I just don't have any free time, you do. You do. It's just maybe not free yet. But you have things in your life, and I'm guessing. So maybe there's somebody here who wakes up at 4 p.m. and as soon as they literally open their eyes, somebody is there saying, you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. And they do that all the way until midnight, and then somebody says, okay, now go to bed. And they okay, yes, they have zero free time. When they're going to the bathroom, somebody's standing next to them going, but while you're doing that, you need to do this and sign here and collate this, and that's just collating, okay? Most people listening to this have free time. It just may not be free yet. But when you apply your thought to your life, the consideration to your life that you do as a small stepper, then you will realize, oh, well, holy crap. See, if I'm busy doing stuff and I'm not really attending to my life and I'm not spending any moments considering, if I'm not stealing what I call stealing moments, such an old episode, right? But if I'm not stealing moments, then I don't even notice that I'm going on surfing the internet about crap that I don't care about while I'm typing my notes. And I'm, by the way, being with my kids. So if for nothing else, I'm not wasting my time doing something mundane and I'm actually talking to my kids for that 10 or 15 minutes. Again, you can't buy this stuff. I mean, this is the stuff. This is the stuff that if the internet goes out, I've got these relationships because I'm attending to them. So everybody has free time. Everybody. But you don't necessarily notice where you can carve that out unless you're engaged in the first place. But everybody listening to this has some time. The last thing I'll say is again, this comes back to sort of the preconceived notions about how much free time is substantial enough, blah, blah, blah. When you're a small stepper, you realize that 1 minute, 2 minute makes a difference. So that I'll make that argument again now times 10. Everybody has a minute. Everybody has 2 minutes. Everybody has 3, 4, 5 minutes in a given day. Everybody. That's the stuff. That's where it starts. You start in those little times. You're going to have to trust me on this. Yes, it's a leap of faith. But what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Somehow, most of us can take time, which I have too, to follow a diet. That's a massive amount of time. We're not talking about 10 or 15 minutes. We're talking about hours, hours and hours and hours. And people, many, go from diet to diet to diet. And then they'll say, I'm just really super busy. I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that. But somehow, they've managed to take time to do a diet. Now, I work with clients. If you're interested in learning about that, go to sidgarzahelman.com. But part of my model is that I do a sort of a consultation, you know, straight up, not sort of, it is. And then it's a series of calls over a month. And one of the points I make to literally every client I've made is at the end of the month is to bring their attention to this fact. Somehow, no matter how busy they are in the month that they worked with me, they have found time to do a 10 to 20 minute call 3 times a week, minimum. somehow they've carved that out. They've taken a life that somehow was full. There was never time where they were sitting on a chair going, I don't really know what to do right now. They were either watching TV, surfing the internet, at work, with their families. There was something filling that time. Somehow they were able to move enough around to have a conversation with me 3 days a week, minimum. I used to do five. I'm just basically 3 days a week works great. So let's just say that's what that is. At the end of the month, I go, okay, well, now you've got 30 minutes to an hour that now is free. 100%. It was talking to me. Now you've got 30 minutes to an hour per week free with literally nothing you have to do because I just took something you were doing and 100% removed it. You've got that empty time now. What are you going to do with it? And I always say, you don't have to fill all of it, but you know it's there. Somehow you learned how to do that, to tend to yourself. Somehow you learned how to carve out 30 minutes to an hour a week for 100% you, to take care of yourself, to discuss the questions of how you want to live your life and who you truly are. You've managed to eke that out somehow. Now, that's a mind blower for people. You guys know as well as I do, because this happens in my own life, I don't spend 45 minutes a week thinking about how I want to live. I'm busy as heck, but I spend some time, and sometimes I actually do. But see, the journaling and all these kinds of behaviors that I've built into myself, that's that time. I mean, that's the time. So it's amazing. In conclusion, okay, so before I get into this week's subject, I wanted to discuss this last super quick point, okay? Because I know you guys are in a hurry because your treadmill, you know, if you turn the treadmill up, it doesn't make you like it doesn't slow time down. Okay, good. Just want to be clear about that. Okay. I want to just draw your attention to this fact. Most steps that go on a list, and again, I'm generalizing here. Why? Because I'm a small stepper, because I coach people. So of all the people I've coached, the steps that go on their list, I would say, I'm thinking about it now for a second. Doom, 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 doom. Okay, 0% are difficult steps in and of themselves. And here's what I mean. One deep breath, not difficult. Texting me in the morning when you first wake up, not difficult. Putting something raw on the side of your plate with whatever else you eat, not difficult. Doing one sun salutation because you want to take yoga again and that's where you start, not difficult. Virtually none of the steps that I've ever seen on a steps list of a client are difficult in and of themselves. It's not like I got to get up and lift 1,000 pounds. That's difficult. They're easy in and of themselves. The difficulty is simply this, and which I talked about last week and I'm going to talk about again today, is how to fit these behaviors into your life. That's the difficulty. I think a diet, by the way, is difficult. I think the time it takes to do that is difficult. I saw this exercise, one of these DVD things, you know, it's like in 60 days, you go from, somebody who's totally out of shape to somebody who literally has, you know, ripped abs. And you know, by the way, that every one of these exercise plans that I've ever seen, and maybe there's some that I don't know, but it's like they've got the DVDs and lo and behold, there's a food plan too. So now you're not just the 10 minutes a day of the P90X, you got to get the results that they guarantee, you have to follow the food plan too, because of course, it ain't just about exercise. And they know that, but they're selling you on this 10 minutes a day. Well, this one thing I saw was 30 minutes a day. And I'm watching this. I know, I mean, I do this for a living, you guys. I know this more than most people, that it's BS. And I'm still going, that looks kind of cool. I swear, in my brain, I'm like, this looks, I mean, I had this, there was an urge to buy it. It's the weirdest thing. I'm watching it. I'm going, this is ridiculous. And it's showing taking the picture like every day. And this guy, you know, and I'm sure he's like 0.02% of the people that have done this thing. It's amazing. The marketing genius of that. Like I'm no better. And I'm going, but maybe this is the one. But what I realize is I'm watching the exercises that they're doing. They go 30 minutes a day. Well, I don't want to, here's my Arsenal experience. You guys ready? 30 minutes a day of what they're showing me on that TV is miserable to me. And I exercise 30 minutes a day. Minimum. I go for a minimum of a 30-minute run, usually 45 minutes to an hour, depending. But I don't want to be sitting on a mat in my room doing squats and doing this and doing that. It sounds amazing, but in the moment, it's kind of miserable. And I don't really want to be miserable for 60 days. even if the end game is me having six-pack abs, which I don't really give a crap about anyway. I got a flat stomach. So wow, is it a draw? And my point is that you juxtapose that with a steps list with nothing on there being miserable. How amazing is that? It's like I do 22 push-ups and 22 squats 7 times a day. And it's not, you know, happy, happy, joy, joy when I'm down there, but it's a minute, done in a minute, like literally a minute. It's not, it's over before it starts. It's like, oh yeah, mom, my way. It's never enough to make me go, okay, another sell, you guys. How great. Nothing on your steps list is miserable. Now, if I had started the 22 sit-ups and 22 push-ups in the beginning, that would have been miserable. Why? Because I couldn't really do 22 push-ups. Definitely not 7 times a day. Couldn't do 22 squats 7 times a day either. So I would have powered through it and made myself miserable and made myself sore and dreaded the process. All for what? For some little win of increased strength. Now I get the increased strength, but I haven't had to be miserable in the time that it's taken me to do it. In the literally months it's taken me to build up to 22 of each, it hasn't been miserable. Because when I incrementally grow, it's by one. I go, I could do another one. I mean, that's every time I've gone up by one in my integrated exercise, it's by one. I don't go from 20 to 25. I go 20 to 21, 21 to 22. Now, could I go up 5? Sure. There's no rules. I just haven't wanted to. I haven't felt like, again, by feel, right? I haven't felt like I'm going to jump this up. I got to push this. I'm like, this is working for me. I don't even pay attention to when I up it. I up it when I feel like upping it. Okay, if I were overweight and out of shape right now and really feeling weak, I might be more motivated to up it in another way. I don't know. It's applicable to me just as your steps are applicable to you. And the more you learn about this process, the better you do in that regard. Okay. Mm. Cold mushroom coffee. Gray matters. Now, on the cleverness quotient, I'll give this a 7. 7 being not that clever and 14 being super clever. Gray matters is a pun, if you will. But let me get into that in a second. Okay. Yeah, the conclusion of this week's episode is just how I'm just punning it up. I'm going to touch upon a little bit of the whole in moderation thing. I've talked about it before. Everything in moderation is one of my pet peeves. I think it's in most cases, it's a cop-out. I think that that some things are definitely not for moderation. I don't think at all everything in moderation, at all, the opposite of which. I think some things are worth totally never doing, ever. I think the trick is to figure out what are the things that we never should do, like, oh, I don't know, murder people. I'm militant about, oh, everything in moderation. If you murder some people sometimes, that's not everything in moderation. But I want to be clear that there's a weird kind of pairing here, which is small steps is definitely not everything in moderation. It's not. It's going huge. And I want you guys to understand that because I think that the perception could be that small steps is sort of like a moderate way of doing that. And I want to be clear that the small steps I'm talking about is you putting your ass on the line. It's pedal to the metal and a whole bunch of just like NASCAR euphemisms. It's going huge. It's just going huge in the context of what works for you. It's not going huge in a way that makes you miserable. It's going huge in a way that makes you happy and healthy. And the huge of that, of course, is the small step. It's as big as you're willing to go to make yourself happy and healthy, but you're going all the way there. And that thing that you're doing just changes over time. Like my 5 push-ups to now 22 push-ups. I'm going big. I'm going as big as I go right now. That's where I'm at the max. The question is, do you know what the max is for you? And if somebody else is telling you, well, 22 push-ups 7 times a day, you're just not that good. You've got to do 6 sets of 30 and with a 30-second break in between and blah, 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 then that's someone else's movie. But I want to be clear that the whole gray matters is like gray area, okay? Just in case you're wondering, like if for the last 3 minutes, have you been like, wait, I know, but what does gray mean? This is really weird. I feel uncomfortable and now I feel awkward. I got an email from a listener and she mentioned this kind of thing that she read that had the listy kind of thing that I've talked about so many times. And she was, this is the kind of email I get, which makes me so inspired. But she's like, I saw this and I started to feel like, you know, the perfectionist in me was going to go after this thing. And but then I realized I'm a small stepper and I just was going to small step my way into this stuff. And I wrote her back and I said, these kinds of lists, they're the bane of my existence because they don't make people happy. But I wanted to understand, I want you guys to understand that this idea of perfection, as much as I don't like it and I usually want to toss it, you know, out the window, but you can think of perfection this way. If you feel like you're a perfectionist and you're applying perfection to just one simple area of your life, like food, it will mean that your drive to do that perfectly, it will be at the expense of all the other things in your life that could make you happy. So if you don't want to give up perfection because you see yourself as a perfectionist, what if you broaden that concept? What if you apply that concept to, I don't know, your whole life? Maybe that will mean that maybe in just the food realm, you do things a little less perfectly in the food realm because it means living life more perfectly overall. In the context of our lives, going gray in some areas like food, so you're not black and white, you're not all or nothing, works really well. It's the gray area of that. It's like, and it's again, it's not moderation. It's how does this fit fully into my whole life? And if going over that line means doing that one thing perfectly at the expense of living happy and healthy, which for me is a more perfect goal, is a better definition of perfection. Again, generally, I just want to throw perfection out the window because I don't think it's a definable thing. If it exists at all, it's you being healthy and happy. That's perfect. But when you compartmentalize, last week's episode, right? But if you compartmentalize and partition perfection into one area, okay, I'm going to do my job perfectly. It's just, that's my job. I'm doing my job. That's it. I'm all or nothing in that thing. Well, that could mean other areas of your life usually are going to be falling by the wayside. It is a balance of all this stuff. I don't care what you do. And again, you can be super successful in your job if you have that way of thinking. Of course, if you define success as monetary gain and moving up the ladder or whatever that is for you, it's a success. This is not a podcast of how you to get ahead financially. This is not a podcast of how you can apply extreme hard work to one little area of your life to be super successful. Again, if you apply perfection just to food, you can probably have an amazing body with a six-pack abs, probably. But I'm only interested in that if, by the way, in doing that, you became happier and healthier in the entirety of your life. That's what's interesting to me. That's why food exhausts me, because some of these, you know, all these magazines and shows and cooking channels and all these things, food, 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 food. It's like maddening to me. It's exhausting to me. That's why I dial back, because I want to simplify at least sometimes to go, I don't really need this level of entertainment all the time from food. I can somehow eke out a happy existence by sometimes not having exactly what I'm craving in any given moment. It is the way that we approach our lives. If you want to get ahead at work, I think that that's great. I do. I want to grow my practice. I want more people to listen to my podcast. I want more people to subscribe to my YouTube channel. I want all these things. But there's a certain line that I realize, and I did this with music too, that if I go over this line and really go all the way there in a way that doesn't make me happy, then what's the freaking point? Because I could be spending way more time doing some of these things, I'm sure, but I don't want to do that at the expense. So I have a balancing act in my own life of, do I want to do a daily vlog on my video channel? Well, I do. It sounds great. But when I think about actually what it would take to shoot and edit a video every day, it would be at the expense of my family life. Why? Because I have a full-time job also. If I didn't have a full-time job at the wellness center and I did podcasting and videos full-time, then I could pull that off. But in the context of my life, it's just like I could train right now for that ultra I talked about. But in the context of my life and my own happiness, which is first and foremost for me, I don't want to train because that's over the line. Okay? All right. I think I made a really good point. The point is that small stepping is giving it your all. You are giving it your all, but you're giving your life your all. You're going all the way. And in a funny way, you could look at it as like you are being an all or nothing person. You're giving it your all. You're just spreading your all out over your whole life. That's what a small stepper does. The small stepper doesn't say, I'm going all or nothing in this one area. A small stepper goes, I'm going at my life full bore, full freaking bore by taking one deep breath. And I'm not even joking, is that you are spreading that engagement, you're spreading that work ethic, you're spreading that drive over the entirety of your life. Not equal, it never works out equally. I spend more time, you know, working than I do other stuff, et cetera, et cetera. But it is spread out. It's equal. It's more equalized than just putting all your eggs in one basket. The diet, the job, the exercise plan. It's spreading out just a little bit more. And you're going out all the way. You really are. It's a way of engaging. Clients that I've had kind of are like, they start to see that little matrixy kind of like, oh, I'm getting it, because the steps list looks very simple, but they're realizing how much that translates into all the other parts of their life. And they're realizing that even when they're not technically doing their steps list or the things on it, they're doing things. The deep breath that they have in the morning, all of a sudden they're doing another deep breath during the day without thinking about it. It's engaging all the parts of their lives, and they're more engaged than they've ever been, and definitely more engaged than any diet they've ever been. And it's a pedal to the metal type of existence. It just doesn't look that way from the outside. And I'll finish with this point. And this is where the pun of gray matters comes in. Because gray, not black or white, but gray matter, the brain. Wow. Oh my God. Congratulations to me. I wish I could hear your guys' gasp of joy when you just heard that, when you heard that penny. They're like, yes, I know. That makes sense now, Sid. I've got closure on this episode. Till next week. Gray matter. I've said it before and I'll say it again. This small steps approach that I crafted, this message that I bring to you every week, is first and foremost about how you think. It is first and foremost about how you use your brain in the context of the modern world. Not how your brain is used, but how you use your brain. And there is a difference between those two things. You're going to have to trust me on that. Our brains are used. Advertising uses our brains. That exercise plan I saw that I was drawn to is using my brain. They know how to manipulate that. They know how to get me, a small stepper health coach nutritionist who knows better, who's bought those things in the past and never stuck with them, to go, man, that looks pretty good. That's amazing. For them, amazing, good marketing, excellent. But I saved the $29.95 because gray matters. Because my brain was enough in enough place to go, regardless of how I'm feeling in this moment, this is one of those things. And even if it delivered me the six-pack abs, I don't want that journey, man. I don't want that journey. I don't want the way there. I don't want that 60 days. Why? Because I got other stuff going on. And again, this is not objective, because you might have the time to do that 60 days. That might work for you. I just want you to know the difference. And I want myself to know the difference. I want to know myself that training for an ultra marathon right now isn't the best use of my time. It would stress me out. At the same time, I also know that I love exercising and it makes me feel good. So I'm not exercising. I'm just not training. That's what I want for you guys every week. That's why I come here. Because it's all about your brain. It's all about how you mentally approach your life in the modern world. That's how you approach. And then, of course, shifts happen in the food, and shifts happen in the movement, and shifts happen in family life, and shifts happen artistically and everything else. But it's how you approach. It's the small stepper's way of getting up in the morning. And again, that's perfect. That's going all or nothing. You start your day, I'm going to do the best I can for myself, no matter what. And sometimes the best you can is just the best you can. But that's going all the way. You're doing the best you can. It just may not be as supposedly quote-unquote good as your neighbor, because they're in a different place than you are. But the best you can is going all the way. It's just spread out in all the areas, because it's attention to your life, how you want to live your life, how you want joy to be in your life, how happy you want to be, how healthy you want to be. All right? So if you're a small stepper, or if you just joined this podcast, you're now a small stepper. So start something, some step before next week. One deep breath per day. I always start there. Who can't do a deep breath per day? Who can't do a deep breath per day? I'm too busy. I've got meetings all day. And in those meetings, I talk 100% of the time. I walk in the door and I start a meeting and I do all the talking and everyone just listens to me. And as I keep talking, just all of a sudden, those people leave the meeting and just without any break, other people come in and I just continue talking. That's my whole life. And I never take a deep breath. I just don't have time, Sid. I'll be like, yes, you are the exception to the rule. Checkmate on me. All right, you guys. I'll be here next week. You know why? Because this is the Approaching the Natural podcast. And I love coming to you guys. And you can email me at podcast@sidgarzahillman.com if you have any questions or comments or just, you know, want to let me know how you're doing as a small stepper. I love that stuff. Okay? I love it. All right. In the meantime, you guys, be well.
Caught up with me, a slice down memory. Words were all coming dear, but in a fountain they wrote all I could see. It's a childlike offering. Caught up with me, faulted and withering, bound by nothing at all. It chose its time to be seen, and it was all I could see. How many ways will come? And we'll come tenderly. With me, but this time I watched it back. 'Cause if the day goes downhill, so it goes downhill, so it goes downhill. How many days will come? How many days will come? How many days will come? And will come creeping quietly. How many ways will come? How many ways will? Yeah.